times. Nice and mellow. Yeah.
Nice and mellow. Ended out, you know.
It was good.
A slow song.
I don't know if you did that one already. Maybe you did. I have a bad memory, so that works out for me, right?
Might have been same song, different people. You know, they all sing the same songs. That's the problem.
You got to refresh to be fresh, right? And it seems just like we've been doing the reboot thing for every generation. We used to reboot the songs. Now we reboot the movies.
Good call. Good call.
You know, they're rebooting Pirates of the Caribbean.
No way.
Oh, they're going to start from scratch. They're getting rid of all the original cast members.
No way, dude.
No more Johnny. No Johnny Depp. Yeah, man. He's gone. That's too bad. I was really hoping we'd get the Deppissance or whatever, you know, the Johnissance. We had the Matthew McConaissance. That was nice. The comeback. I'd like to see Johnny Depp have a comeback, man. He got the raw end of the stick with that whole pooping in the bed fiasco court thing.
I think it got off easy. You know what I mean? Guy like him needs to go away before all the, you know, lawsuits and everything. Right. Before we find out you're P. Diddy.
That's right, yeah. Man. Yeah. Johnny Depp was who we thought he was, right? He was a wino and probably a drug addict. Probably loved smoking pot. He looks like who he is, you know, and dresses that way. He's got all the beads, the necklaces, a lot of beads on the wrist, which I find to be an interesting look.
He is French, so.
Is he French, actually?
He, like, lives in France, yeah.
All right. But I thought he was American. I think he's American and he moved to France.
Well.
Which is a bad move, I feel like.
Yeah, that's a weird one. I feel like he usually goes the other way.
I don't know. France is beautiful, like in the countryside. I'm sure he lives in some fantastical chateau somewhere. You know, where he can wear his beads and he can have supermodels poop in his bed, right?
He lives in the UK.
Oh, that's worse, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm sure it's lovely in places in the UK. But all right, man.
Food is terrible, though.
Oh, you know,
how do you go from American food to the... Yeah, he was born in Kentucky.
Yeah, like America's the melting pot, man. And even when it's shitty in America, the food is fantastic. We still have great food.
Oh, it's almost like the worse the place, the better the food.
Yes, you're right, actually.
you know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah.
Like New York, Chicago, shittiest cities in the world. Great food.
Best food on the planet, man. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's right, dude. Absolutely.
It's the only thing we have to live for.
We had a little date night the other night on Friday. Decided to go see a movie because they were chemtrailing like crazy and built up a nice little storm for us and overcast. And so we went and saw the new Ghostbusters, man.
Oh, how was it?
Oh, it was a good time. We enjoyed ourselves. Emma fell asleep for about 4 to 5 minutes, which is the marker of a good flick. It seems like she was entertained for most of it. But we went out to this place nearby the house. And it's a brewery, but also like a pizzeria slash they got kind of every menu item you can imagine going on, which is sometimes a major red flag for me. But I like the beer selection. They got one of those huge chalkboards behind the bar and a seemingly endless row of taps, you know, and they just have all these great names and you could just always pick by random and never be disappointed. The pizza, man, was horrible. I mean, everything we had was terrible. This time specifically, like, usually it's not great, but, like, this time it was, like, exceptionally bad. And we noticed, like, they had a lot of people working, but, like, not working, like, standing around and not, like, standing around and slowly wiping the same spot over and over again, which you see in a lot of these places. No, like literally leaning against the wall and like bullshitting with like, you know, a few of and we saw
got
this
time to lean, you got
time
to clean,
man. Yeah. But not in this place. No, they love overstaffing and especially in the day and age here where we live, where you're dishing out $18 an hour. I mean, it seems a little little intense to be having all this overstaffing happen. And we're eating this shitty food. And the bartender, man, was like older, you know, like getting there, getting, you know, rougher and rougher by the day. And had like the sassy kind of bartender, rough lady, I've been doing this too long kind of attitude. Yeah. And, you know,
getting too old for this shit.
Blouse a little bit oversized, maybe a little too much exposure going on when she's bending over doing the dishware and all that stuff. You know, one of those kind of bras. But usually those bartenders are great because they're just, they've been doing it so long and they're just kick ass at their service. You know what I mean? They're like almost filling up your beer before you can even say something. You know, not her though. No, she was sassy and shitty. And just, like, not filling anything and taking her time. And so we had to catch this movie, right? And she was just taking forever to even just meander her way down the bar to get to us, to even, like, ask us if we wanted to, you know, get the check or whatever. And so we kind of grab her attention quickly, and we get the check. And, you know, Emma puts the credit card down, and the lady, like, kind of starts going off to the side and chatting with someone else, and I'm like, we're never gonna get out of here, you know, like this ain't gonna happen. So I started carrying cash with me lately, last few months. I've been getting more into just having the cash on hand, and I pulled the card out,
yeah,
and I dropped the cash, and I said, let's get out of here. And we booked it, and it was fantastic. The cash saved the day. So no longer were we at the mercy of this sloth having no interest in actually, you know, earning her buck. Because when you're getting paid $18 an hour plus tips, you don't give a fuck what people tip you anymore.
Yeah, you don't care about the tips. Did you leave a good tip?
I left a 20% tip. Just shy, maybe. Well, no, I gave her the exact change from the 20, and it happened to land roughly on the 20% mark. I was fair. I left it to fate, my man. Absolutely.
Terrible.
I'm not going to sit around waiting. Shit. I'm not going to wait for the change. You know.
At that point, I would have waited for her to come back just to get some change and then leave her $2 tip.
Yeah.
That'd be fucked up.
I know. Not really now, but maybe a little bit. I don't know.
Fuck these people, man. It's terrible because your money keeps going up, and I'm paying more and more, but the service is getting shittier and shittier.
Yes.
That doesn't make sense.
It is declining rapidly, and it's becoming clearer by the day that you've realized that it doesn't matter how well you serve me because you're now getting paid. So, you know, go fuck yourself. That's kind of the service I'm getting.
Yeah, it should be you put 3% for whatever on this thing, and that shitty service, no tip. No tip. Fine. Because now I know they're paying you $18 an hour. I'm not tipping.
Man, I really wish we could go that route. I read an article in The Westward here in Denver. They're having major issues with some restaurants staying open, and or they're having a lot of they're getting a lot of backlash from customers for the rise in prices, and they're tossing out all these new age ideas, they're calling them, where they're adding in these special gratuities and percentage additions, you know, to the bottom of the menu. And I'm reading this like, this is a new age or genius. This pisses off the diner, and when we see it at the bottom of the menu, we order less, and then we don't come back.
Yes, yes. That's a great call. That's a great call.
I'm having the one beer now.
One beer. That's exactly what I thought. No shots, one beer with the meal.
Yes, that's what happens when I see the extra charge. You ruined your own surcharge, I guess, or I don't know what it is. They're getting screwed by that. I mean, it's the policies of the places where we live, there's no doubt. And if there's anybody out there who knows more about this than suffering the consequences of the way you vote, it's LeBron James. That's right.
Oh, dude.
LeBron James apparently has had to pay all this money to buy 24/7 security to protect his home because there's squatters near his home or next door, roughly, having quote-unquote cocaine orgy parties.
That's what you get for moving in next to P. Diddy. Yeah. We told you don't buy it.
I think apparently, if I read the article correctly, his neighbors are Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez there. And
there's a whole bunch of people that live in that neighborhood. He paid like $26 million for the home, they were saying.
He
good.
He bought it in 2022 for $36.8 million.
Yeah.
And let's see. He's very.
No, you can't even enjoy it.
He's reportedly very concerned about these squatters who've taken over a $4.3 million home.
Did you see the story? They wrote a fake lease, which you could literally just go online and print a lease.
Yeah.
It's not hard. I think there's like a template on Microsoft Word.
All right. You know nice, what I mean? Man.
But I mean, they just printed it off and then they used that to go get driver's license. And then they said now that they have the driver's license, that's it. What do you mean that's it?
Yeah. What does that mean? Like they own the house?
Now they have rights to the house. Which, what? And so now you have to evict them through the courts. But it was a made-up lease.
And then they just live in, like, a mansion in Beverly Hills or wherever this is?
Yeah, they're just living there. And the worst part is, because of the law, you cannot cut off the power and the water to the house.
Oh, wow, man.
So if you're the guy who owns the house, you're like paying the utilities for these people to just live there for free and ruin your house. They're ruining the house.
Absolutely, man. Oh, yeah. Man. Well, this is pretty funny
stuff.
This
is what you guys voted for.
Yeah, well, LeBron James.
This is you people vote. I mean, this is the Democrats all over, where it's like they preach, they get what they want, and then they look around and they're like, why are things so bad? You know?
I hate to say it, but I think it's the Democrats. Blue no matter who.
Yeah, right. Still have to, huh, LeBron? But I hope it makes LeBron feel better that the same people that put these policies in, they're also the ones that painted those flags, Black Lives Matter,
yes,
on the street.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So, I guess it's worth it.
Yeah, man. Well, all right. Good times for LeBron. I think he should just go over and have a good time, hang out at the party.
They'd probably love to have him.
Yeah, man. It would go viral. It'd be a lot of fun. I just thought that was hilarious, only because, I mean, here in Denver, I what did I send myself here? Oh, yeah, this one got me. Similar to LeBron and his scenario unfolding there in his mansion home, over in Beverly Hills, in Boulder, the Beverly Hills of Denver, if you will. There was a massive house fire from a car, an electric vehicle that exploded in someone's garage.
No way.
Yeah, an electric SUV, Volvo, exploded and burnt down a good chunk of the house.
Wow.
So, I thought that was interesting. I've been seeing a lot of those lately where, like, these e-bikes that people are into and these scooters, they're just charging them in their house and they just burst into flames out of nowhere.
And now you have a lithium fire. Like, how do you put you can't even put it out. You can't put water on it.
Which it just gets hotter and hotter and hotter, right? Isn't that how that works?
Yeah, it just burns until there's no more metal.
We'll probably not be getting any lithium or exports in the near future. Have you gone digging any further down the Baltimore Bridge collapse, man? I'm reading that the supply chain disruption could be pretty serious, actually.
Nah, I don't think so.
Oh, damn it. All right, I'm waiting for two or three months from now, you're gonna be like, did you hear it was a cyber attack? I swear to God.
I don't know. I've been watching all of it. It's kind of just dumb.
Another boat hit another bridge.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where boats probably hit bridges all the time.
Oh, and now we're just seeing it?
Well, it could be, like, you know. Just like, remember train derailments? Everybody just stopped talking about them, but they're still happening daily.
Absolutely. I'm sure they're still, for sure.
I'm sure bridges get hit all the time. That's why they're built to take those blows. It's just that this bridge was so old, it wasn't built to take that kind of hit. you know.
You're way off the mark, bro. I think we all know the reason that bridge collapsed is because of DEI. Everybody knows that, all right? Everybody knows that it's racists and people being racist and blaming DEI for the bridge falling down. Absolutely.
I mean, that's pretty ridiculous, too, because you're blaming DEI. You're pretty much saying a white guy could have stopped this from happening.
Did you catch Joy Reid this week?
No.
Joy Reid had the mayor of Boston or of Baltimore on her show to discuss a lot of the racial dog whistles that have been going around on the internet ever since the bridge collapse.
No way.
Mike, it's Joy Reid. She will make everything racist. Everything that happens in this world will be racist, okay?
I can't wait.
I know. I got maybe one of the greatest clips of all time. This is total insanity. Joy Reid, I think it should be illegal for her to be peddling this stuff on her show to, like...
I mean, where's the truth and ministry or whatever they were calling it?
That's right. Well, here we go. This is the stuff they want to sell people on prime time on MSNBC. It's Joy Reid, and she's going to discuss some dog whistles, which I wasn't aware of going on here. And she's going to bring on the mayor of Baltimore to discuss his mission from God that he's been placed on.
But the most idiotic and racist theories had to do with their newest boogeyman, diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI. A Republican congressional candidate in Florida tweeted that DEI did this. And a right-wing blue check account that's been boosted by Elon Musk in the past just blew straight past the dog whistling, tweeting to its 276,000 followers, quote, Baltimore's DEI mayor commenting on the collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge, it's going to get so much worse. Prepare accordingly. The post included a clip of Baltimore's black mayor, Brandon Scott. I cannot believe I have to say this. Brandon Scott was elected with 70% of the vote in 2020 in a city that is 61% black. So by right-wing logic, a diversity hire would have been a white man, which of course is what they want. Only the white Christian men may have the things. And at this point, it's evident what they mean by DEI, right? Okay, it means black people. It's the reason the right complained about critical race theory.
This is why I like how they're replacing all of history with black people, because someday the reparations will come to the white guys. It's going to be so wonderful.
Right. I can't wait.
Not fashionable to be openly racist anymore in America, unlike what they call the good old days. So referring to a black mayor as a DEI mayor gets the point across, right? So fellas, why don't just say what you mean? You can't stand black people. We get it. You've been heard. Joining now is Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott. I will.
Dude, she's insane, man. Like, she's Joy Reid is so racist. She hates white people, man. It's so crazy.
So the best part about this is Joy Reid, whose show probably reaches 300,000 people.
Yeah, that's
and
a good...
she's talking about a tweet from a guy who has about 275,000 followers. You're both irrelevant. You know what I mean?
I fucking love this, dude. This is fantastic stuff, man. Come on. That was an incredibly racist rant. Like, this lady hates white people. Every show that I watch of hers, every time she goes on TV, she finds some spin on an event occurring that, you know, it's because white people hate black people, but really she's just displaying her hatred of white people. It's incredible.
We hated them first, Frank. Come on. That's how this goes.
Right, I'm such a bigot. I got the mayor now, and you think, like, okay, you got, here comes a politician, right? He's gonna be a little more balanced in his response, maybe a little more reserved, right? Hold back a little bit, not so much, you know, color, or no, I shouldn't use color, you know, spice, extra spice to his language there. No, this guy, he's gonna come on and join Joy on her joyride.
allow you, Mayor Scott, if you choose to do so, to respond to the tomfoolery and attacks on you for having the nerve to be black and also a mayor.
Well, I think, listen, I know, and we all know, and you know very well, that black men and young black men in particular have been the boogeyman for those who are racist and think that only straight, wealthy white men should have a say in anything. We've been the boogeyman from them since the first day they brought us to this country. And what they mean by DEI, in my opinion, is duly elected incumbent. We know what they want to say, but they don't have the courage to say the N-word. And the fact that I don't believe in their...
Excuse me?
Did you catch that?
Yeah, so that's the new N-word?
Let's hear him say it one more time.
The first day they brought us to this country. And what they mean by DEI, in my opinion, is duly elected incumbent. We know what they want to say, but they don't have the courage to say the N-word. And the fact that I don't believe in their untruthful and wrong ideology, and I am very proud of my heritage and who I am and where I come from, scares them. Because me being at my position means that their way of thinking, their way of life, of being comfortable and suffering, and while everyone else suffers, is going to be at risk. And they should be afraid, because that's my purpose in life.
And by the way, you know, the coded racism, before we even knew the nationalities of the men, Maria Bartiromo was out there talking about open borders and trying to somehow signal that they wanted to go after the brown people too, because of course that is their other target.
What?
Wow, man.
Man. Thank you for enlightening me. I didn't know this country was so racist.
Oh, that is rough. They piled it on so thick right there, dude. You're right. I didn't know everybody just inherently had all this hatred in them. That's crazy.
I love how they just threw in the migrants at the end. That's so funny.
You got to toss in the brown, right? just to make sure you get everybody in there. I'm surprised we didn't get a shout out for the AAPI or IPI or what were the Asian fellas? I can't remember now.
IPAA?
IPAA? Was that what it was?
Yeah.
What happened there? We were really big on protecting the Asians, and then everybody stopped talking about the Asians.
I think it started because they were trying to do this commercial with all the Asian comedians to stop Asian hate, and Bobby Lee just said no and then made fun of them on every podcast.
Perfect. I'm glad that happened. Yes. Thank God for Bobby Lee.
There was a lot of guys that they almost tried to cancel them. Like Tony Hinchcliffe, they tried to cancel him because of the shit he said about this dude. He would bring on this kid, and he was Asian, and he made a bunch of Asian jokes, and they tried to cancel him for it.
All right.
Yeah, so stupid. None of it ever worked, because you people are the most successful people in this country.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're top of the financial bracket, no doubt. Well, that was good times. I like this great unifier they have there in Baltimore. This mayor, man, he's really for all the people. You know what I'm saying? Everybody that lives in Baltimore.
That's great.
That's a rough scene, man. I can't imagine living my life constantly being obsessed with that perspective or being committed and totally focused on dividing myself from everybody else around me based on my perceived, you know, skin colors and ethnicities. And it honestly sounds exhausting.
It really does. It really does.
To just have to nitpick and dissect every human being you meet. And by the way, what a prejudiced lifestyle to live. You're going to immediately assume things about someone's cultural backgrounds the second you see their skin color?
Yeah, they're going reverse.
I mean, that's
they
just...
want everything to be... They want your race, the color of your skin, to be the number one most important thing about you.
And, you know, the checkboxing and all that, it just seems like it's gone too far, and we're so hyper... obsessed with it. And then I saw in the Associated Press here, U.S. changes how it categorizes people by race and ethnicity. The first revision in 27 years.
Wow, that's what we needed.
That's exactly what I thought. I was thinking, in my head, I thought, you know, life was a lot simpler 27 years ago. Maybe we should go back to trying to do things the way we did them 27 years ago instead of updating. Mm. But I dig.
Sounds like it could almost make America great again.
Oh, man. Well, I did some digging on it, and I might have it here. I hope I do. Yes, I do. All right. I went to the source, and I said to myself, I'd like to hear from the other side, man, right? Let's hear from the folks who are really obsessed with the ultra-segregation, the hyper-division, the box-checking. There's only one place for it. I went to the NPR. So, you know how NPR does it. They're a little bit on the mellow side of the reporting. They go smooth.
Drink your coffee.
They go smooth with it, right? Hey, how's it going? Oh, yeah. Doing good, baby. All right, so NPR is going to give us a brief lowdown and kind of the perspective of the other who are excited for more box checking when it comes to the census and how we live our lives and apply for government documents.
Major changes are coming to how the U.S. government asks about your race and ethnicity. And supporters say these changes could improve the accuracy of statistics about Latinos and people of Middle Eastern or North African descent. NPR's Hansi Lo Wang reports.
Guillermo Creamer says one of those changes is going to solve a conundrum. On federal government forms, he answers, yes, he identifies as Latino, which the government considers to be ethnicity. And then he has to answer,
what's your race? I genuinely don't ever know what to answer.
You see the boxes, and none of them quite fit for you.
No, because to me, you know, being Latino, that's all-encompassing for me.
Creamer will soon be able to answer a new combined question that asks about a person's race and or ethnicity. And the checkboxes under it include Hispanic or Latino. The White House's Office of Management and Budget has released an example.
I sent it around to my parents and other members of my family, and I was like, hey, like, finally, like, there's more than just the other for us.
And there will be a completely new checkbox for Middle Eastern or North African.
It is progress. It is progress.
Maya Berry is the executive director of the Arab American Institute, which for more than three decades has been campaigning for this box and to change what research suggests to be an outdated policy for racially categorizing people with roots in the Middle East or North Africa, or MENA.
Yes, no longer rendered by definition in terms of formal federal policy as exclusively white. The point is, folks can self-identify with any racial category they feel comfortable with.
Still, Barry says she is concerned that the government's new definition for Middle Eastern or North African is not inclusive enough of people who are of MENA descent and identify with Black diaspora communities. And she's worried that can affect the data that'll be used to redraw voting districts for civil rights and guide policy.
Excuse me on that one.
Excuse me?
Yeah, dude, that's what I'm saying. That's why the clip blew me away. I was like, okay.
Not inclusive of who?
I don't know. I have no idea. There's so many people, man. Now you're going to go to, like, apply for your driver's license, and you're going to go to the, like, race ethnicity box, and it's going to be, like... You're going to be scrolling for hours to find your characteristic, man.
It's actually the hardest question on the test.
It's so funny, man. Or I guess if I understood this correctly now, you're going to have the opportunity to click as many boxes as you want. And we live in the age of self-identification where you can, right, identify as a bunny rabbit or, you know what I'm saying? So... people at some point will just start self-identifying with whatever race or, you know, whatever race spectrum they so choose.
This is so insane.
Isn't this crazy, man, that we're just hyper dividing? I can't even believe that we're going in that direction still.
It's because everybody has to be special. You know what I mean?
Right. You don't want to feel like the other, Mike.
Like I put Caucasian. Am I from the Caucasus Mountain range?
No.
Right?
Yes, we have to do white. I mean, what is white?
Right.
Why don't I get, right, you know, Italian Polish?
Well, Frank, you're white because you're not Hispanic and your family's from Europe. What about the Spaniards? You know what I'm saying? Like, never makes sense. No. There's nothing that makes sense when it comes to trying to divide us up into races.
And that's why having just the base catch-all phrases, it was just supposed to make things easier for us, you know, expedite stuff, make the process simpler so we can get on with the stuff that matters in our lives.
There's only one question and one question only. Can you say the N-word on the south side of Chicago? Like, that's the dividing line.
Yes, man. Oh, that's... I knew you would find that interesting.
It's insane. Group he rattled off there, that was it's not inclusive enough of what the black Middle Eastern, what? Like,
diaspora,
get out of here.
Yeah, I don't know. He used some sort
like
of...
Like some tribe in Africa or something? We know.
That's right, dude.
And you know what I mean?
This might be a direct result of everybody's previous obsession with doing the 23andMe and finding out all the genetics of your past. Like, maybe it's not so great to know all the, like, various groups that are in your bloodline there, right? Like, maybe it's just good to have, like, I got the Polish and the British and the Irish and a little Italian, and that's good enough, you know?
Yeah, we're just American.
Yeah, you know, we used to be satisfied with being Americans. It was kind of our thing, man.
That's some fucking from the tribe. That was so crazy. he blew me up. He, like, blew me away with that one. It's not inclusive enough because of this black Israelite thing. Whatever he said. I don't even...
I got it still. Yeah. You want to hear it again?
Yeah, if you could replay that part, that would be hilarious.
...of enough of people who are of MENA descent and identify with black diaspora communities. And she's worried that can affect the data that
of
we used
MENA
to...
MENA descent in a black diaspora? What does that even mean?
I don't know, but I'm thinking about those people every day, Mike, ever since I heard the clip.
I can't sleep knowing they don't know what box to check on government forms.
The MENA tribe and black diaspora? Yeah, I know, dude. These poor people out there. They're so marginalized, man.
How do you even say that with a straight face? You're on New York Public Radio. The MENA tribe in the Middle East that is directly related to the black demigod. What is it? Desolate?
Yeah, the diaspora? I keep
the
saying it wrong.
Diaspora
here,
tribe.
Wait, I got it. I got it here.
And identify with black diaspora communities. She's worried.
The fuck is black diaspora?
I'm hearing a different word every time we play it.
So good.
Wow, man.
That's really what we need to focus on. Dude, that's why it's already fucked up. Like, if you're looking for a house, you know, you go to find something in a neighborhood, you type in the demographics of the neighborhood because you want to figure it out, and they're like, 80% white. And you're like, 80% white? Nah, I've been there. That's not 80% white. And then you have to, like, scroll down to be like, oh, that 80%, it's actually 40% Latino. White Latino.
Oh, they go for the white Latino?
Yet now they're considered white.
Latinos are white now.
Right.
Is that why this guy wants to be also Hispanic then?
I guess, well, that's what it... that's how they've been breaking it down here for a long time. Well, they're white, but they're white Hispanic.
All right. Interesting. I imagine... In today's day and age, you don't want to be associated with the white, right? So you're hoping to get on board with the Hispanic. Right?
I don't know. I think that's for the, you know, you're Hispanic, but you still want that privilege. Right?
You want the cop to let you go on a warning? All right, I'll let you go this time, buddy.
Exactly. You want to be able to live in the cheaper neighborhood. Nobody fucks with you.
Right. All right. Yeah, I can see that. All right. I didn't know this was such a thing. And here we are once again, splitting hairs when it comes to the racial ethnic stuff. And
that's white privilege, Frank. You don't even have to worry about the diaspora tribe.
I know. Yeah. I'm worried about the potholes that are expanding and never being filled.
I know.
Right. I mean, I had
how much money did you guys spend on this? And could we not spend that on filling potholes?
And, I mean, traffic's insane. I had to get my front brakes fixed because I'm slamming them to nearly avoid running over the migrant squeegee boys as they're dodging traffic over at Santa Fe and Alameda. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the cars are getting wrecked because of the way the roads are and because of the migrants out there and all that stuff. And yes, I blame the migrants for everything. Okay.
I was going to say, that's a little iffy there. You're reaching, blaming the migrants, the cars.
Well, no, with the migrants, we have the car thefts going on.
Oh, okay. And they do cut off the catalytic converter.
Yeah, no, we have one of the highest catalytic converter thefts in the country, rate-wise, and we are top three in car thefts in the nation.
But that's Toyota's fault, really.
Is it Toyota? I believe one of the easiest cars to get the catalytic converter is the Subaru. The number one is the Prius. Second is Subaru. You just described Colorado right there with those two words.
Yeah, you're doomed.
That's right. And then look at the lady fellas driving these things. I mean, you could easily carjack these guys. Come on, man.
You go for the converter, but then when you see how pussy the guy is, you just steal the whole car.
See, you get into trouble when you think it's a woman, and then you reach into the car, and it's a dude who's now a woman. And this guy's 6'5", 250 pounds, and he could beat the crap out of you.
even the 6'5 Denver man.
You're right. Yeah, he's getting mugged by the teenies.
Not beating up anybody.
So this was on Channel 9 News yesterday. We talked about this last week. They keep kind of dumping out these news items because March Madness is going on, and they know nobody's paying attention to anything that's happening, and it's Friday, you know, and everyone just wants to get it on with the weekend. Denver warns new migrants to leave. Says lack of resources means they will suffer, quote unquote, suffer.
No.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
We really need you guys to leave, and it's not for us. It's for you.
It's an undercover video they did. The video obtained by 9 News shows a city council member pleading with migrants to move along to other cities as Denver faces a $120 million budget crisis.
Oh, my
yes.
God.
Mike, we are 5 seconds from our mayor, Mike Johnston, giving us the classic mayor of New York City, Mayor Adams. He's got no vacancy,
we
man.
We have no more room in the city.
Sounds like a fucking hostage clip.
Dude, we're out of room, man. Denver has joined the ranks of New York, dude. You got to keep moving. Move along now. Yeah.
Can't you find a Republican city that's run right?
Why don't you guys turn left and go to Albuquerque? New Mexico's nice this time of year.
Beautiful. Oh, it's so good. Yeah, their policies are just crumbling around them, huh?
I just think it's funny to read this because we are a nationally declared sanctuary city and state.
Yeah.
And we actually, what people don't understand is these mayors and governors, like Jared Polis here in Colorado and whatever dingbats you have over there in Illinois, Pritzker and your Johnson, they didn't just go on national TV or on their local TV stations and announce, like, we are a sanctuary state or city. They signed laws where they are sanctuary states, where they are giving money to these migrants and busing them. And I didn't get a clip on it, but they have absolutely confirmed that the Biden administration flew charter flights 312,000 migrants around the country.
That's crazy. That's our tax dollars.
It's completely insane, man.
To ruin our own places. Ah, it's really sad. And what's the end goal?
I believe it's the World Economic Forum, 15-minute cities, you own nothing.
Yeah.
I think they just want to kill us all. That's really been my belief. Which is...
Dude,
Oh, no. What do you got?
It's really crazy because not only is are Biden and them doing all that, at the same time, they're not only trying to get Trump off the ballot through the courts, they're also now trying to get RFK off the ballot.
Yes.
In like 8 different states.
And what
for
are...
For democracy?
Are they like doing the same tactic? I mean, they obviously can't charge him with the cockamamie 14th Amendment mumbo jumbo, the, you know,
completely tied into being bad for Biden.
Well, he's really bad for Biden. I don't think we really talked about it, but did you see his VP pick?
Yeah, super Democrat, super rich, super liberal.
Huge on the climate change and big time liberal. San Francisco, Silicon Valley liberal, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And that's a major blow to anyone who thought RFK was in the fold to do some damage to Trump. It's now obvious the reason RFK is in it, he's there to seal the deal for Trump so that way none of the kind of magical coincidental happenstance that occurred between 12 o'clock and 2 a.m. on the night of election night. Any of that can still go on and it won't matter now because there's a good 10 to 15% of Democrat votes that are going to go for this third party guy.
Yeah, I think he's going to steal it from. Yeah, you're right.
I wouldn't be surprised if Kennedy had a nice little spot in the cabinet there once Trump takes the office.
You think so?
Come on, maybe. Dude. This is a beautiful play for Kennedy to be in it. I never thought he was there to take votes away from Trump. It just never made sense to me. You know, Kennedy is... The name Kennedy literally is Democrat, man.
Like, yeah, you can't get away from that.
Right? And even just...
And besides the anti-vax, I mean, he's a Democrat.
Yes. Yeah, through and through, man. He really... believes in a lot of the climate change stuff. You know, you're right. Outside of the vaccine, he's pretty much annoyingly very Democrat. Actually. I have a RFK clip that I thought you would really, really enjoy, Mike. This one is specifically for you, sir. He's on one of our favorite TV hosts' show, and they're taking live calls, man. Live calls. You know it. It's the Chris Cuomo show, the Cuomo Bromo Hour. And
CCP?
CCP, that's right, dude. And he's got RFK Jr. on, and they're taking live calls. And it's pretty interesting what RFK says about the boomer vote, right? Which I main reason I clipped it. But also, side reason I clipped it is you got to hear Cuomo, like, getting in with the car, like, go, boom, all right, enough, go, boom. Like, he's Cuomo loves doing this, all right? So, we're doing it for the RFK, but we're staying for the Cuomo. All right, here we go. Yes, this is RFK on the boomer vote.
Joe, what's your question? Keep it tight.
Yes, so would Mr. Kennedy be willing to do a one-on-one debate with Donald Trump? Since we know Joe Biden's too senile to do it himself.
I would love nothing more than that. I would be great to have a three-person debate. But I will debate either President Biden or President Trump in any kind of forum that they want.
Good luck with that. I don't even think they're going to debate each other, to be honest. All right, next question.
Okay, next we're going to go to Mark from Virginia.
Mark, what's your question?
Good afternoon, Mr. Kennedy. It's an honor to speak with you. My question is, we all know that the DNC has engaged in a massive misinformation campaign. To malign and marginalize you. It's been picked up by a lot of the mass media. It's only going to get worse. What specifically is your plan to combat that other than continuing to hold rallies?
CNN has an agenda. MSNBC has an agenda. Fox News has an agenda. But News Nation plays it pretty much straight up and down the line, and I think the appetite for that among the American people is greater and greater, and I'm getting bigger audiences. So, I reach a lot of people through podcasts. That's why I'm doing better in this country than either President Biden or President Trump. Under Americans under 45, I beat them. The people where I'm weakest are the baby boomers. So, and baby boomers who I should be doing the best with because they remember Camelot. They were around for the Kennedy era, and they loved me when I was the environmental champion. But they don't like me now because those information ecosystems are very defamatory toward me, as you pointed out. So really, I think our big challenge is I'm winning among independents, which is now the biggest political party. I'm winning among young people. I'm tied, three-way tie among Hispanic voters. I'm doing very well among Black voters. My big challenge is reaching those baby boomers. And I think what we're going to see is that what we find is when baby boomers hear me actually speak, when they listen to a podcast, we have a very, very high conversion rate very quickly. So I think if I can get on there, I think my polling numbers keep up. It's going to be very hard for them to keep me off. And we'll see what happens.
All right. So, Mike, you just had the time today to dine with some boomers. People who are active in the political viewing scene, right? They love their MSNBC. What is their take on the RFK? How do they view this guy? And would their opinion change, actually, if they happened to hear a podcast of him?
Yeah, if they actually would listen to him, probably. But they're voting for Joe Biden.
Right.
So it's, yeah. It's you know what I mean? Biden's better than Trump.
Right.
Anything's better than Trump. Because Trump's going to end democracy, even though he's not the one trying to get anybody off the ballot. The DNC is currently trying to get the only two other people on the ballot off to save democracy.
Yeah, we have to eliminate all opponents and lock up all of their dissident fans and supporters, and then we shall save democracy.
It's going to be great.
And,
but we'll give you democracy back after we take it, right? Well, that's always the promise.
Once, you know, democracy will be saved when Democrats win 100% of the time, 100% of the governmental positions, right? Then that's the savior of democracy when there are no more Republicans. And I'm not crazy. I mean, there are people like Whoopi Goldberg, who has on The View very recently suggested that we just lock up all the Republican voters, and that's how we stop Trump from winning.
Yeah. Well, if you can't lock him up, lock up the voters, right?
Well, we've already locked up 752 of them, or how many of the Jan 6th Patriots are currently stored away in the dark dungeons of D.C., you know, I mean, we put away Enrico Tarrio just for not even being there, but he, you know, his name is associated with the Patriot Boys or the Patriot Front, whatever it is. So, yeah, we got to lock him up, man. Send him away.
Well, I'm sure Trump will go to jail for his 91 counts. I'm sorry, 88 counts.
That's right, dude. Yeah, man. So did you have any of
the boomers, huh?
Yeah, you don't think they're going to come? I believe the boomers are also set on Joe Biden simply because I think in the boomers' mind, the podcasts are the alternative media that they were so scared to venture into during the time of COVID.
Yeah, it's the fake news. It's where you get the fake news, the conspiracy theories.
It's the realm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's where Alex Jones lives, you know? That's where people get all those nut job tinfoil hat theories, man. And, you know,
what's really funny is a lot of the people I actually listen to, a lot of them, like, were on CNN and got fired. They were on MSNBC and they got fired. You know what I mean? Because they really wanted, because they either spoke their opinion or they wanted to talk about something that wasn't good for the network.
Man, so many people were fired immediately at the onset of COVID, and then the censorship that came out, you know, during that time, I mean, the need to censor people like you and I, even, like, that's when it kind of got weird. Like, you're censoring people that don't even really have much of a reach at all. That
no matter, we get that blue banner. Like, what the fuck?
It's crazy.
Four people listen to
it. It's so crazy to, like, get that kind of action or reaction from the government. But that was also kind of the scariest part about it, like the realization, like, oh, they're after everyone. Have you seen this video recently of a woman who posted some sort of meme on Facebook and the FBI came to her door?
No.
Yeah, they're apparently sending the feds now out after people who are putting out memes that maybe favor the Republican side, right? Or anything that might be considered offensive, potentially. Maybe you didn't feel the need to celebrate this transgender day of affinity or whatever it is, and we had to do, you accidentally tweeted out an Easter Bunny meme, so the FBI had to show up and make sure that you are celebrating, you know, the right holiday, right?
Yeah, that's so scary. Damn.
Yeah, memes, man. You got to watch out now, dude. That's going to land people in jail. And they really have already started that. If I'm not mistaken, there is a young fella who is currently behind bars and in prison for a while because he made a meme about voting for Hillary Clinton during the 2016 election.
Yeah, his meme was you could vote the day after or something like that.
Yes.
It was like to vote on Thursday. You know what I mean? It was like a total joke. And they said it could have convinced people to skip the election thinking they could vote the next day.
I think they
they locked him up.
They considered it like election interference, I think.
Interference, yes. And they locked him up.
But you know what's not election interference? Burying the story about the guy running for president's son having illicit content and laptops he left overseas and potentially, you know, banging underage hookers, doing crack cocaine, and having illegal business ties to China and Russia.
Yeah, where he paid off his dad? That's pretty important. I don't care about the hookers and the crack. This guy was taking bags of money from foreign countries, giving it to his dad. And now his dad's president? Seems a little weird.
And then the second this guy gets into office, we're all of a sudden in this seemingly endless war in Ukraine where a lot of people are making a lot of money.
In the same country you took money from?
Yes, dude.
A little suspect. There's a lot of countries out there, you know?
Well, what's amazing is the only guy going to prison for funneling money and laundering money through Ukraine is that loser Sam Bankman-Fried, who was running the FTX. Isn't that incredible? Like, the only guy actually getting in trouble for anything here is that kid, and he's going to some country club prison for 25 years. Outrageous, man.
It really is.
No way that dude serves all 25, right?
He's already out.
Yeah, probably, man.
He's already back on an island. Come on.
Right, participating in his favorite orgies. And trading Bitcoin with Zelensky. We need hookers and cocaine,
Oh, wait a minute. I haven't seen Zelensky in a while, and I'm sure this guy already got... Are you sure these aren't the squatters next to LeBron James? The cocaine orgy? Is there a lot of disco music coming from out there?
Oh, man. It might be Sam Bankman-Fried. He's on house arrest two doors down from LeBron. There's nothing he could do.
He couldn't find a house, so he just squatted in one.
That's right, man. And he has a frequent guest. It's Zelensky, and he also has a guy who visited about 6 months ago and hasn't left, Hunter Biden. He loves to get down and party, right?
Always has the good crack.
Oh, good call on the squatters. That's a call back, man. Yeah. It's pretty wild,
yeah,
this dude. I can't believe he only got the 25 years. He was originally supposed to get the 50. And
oh man, now I'm opposite. I can't believe he got 25.
Really?
I thought they were gonna give him a slap on the wrist.
It probably will be a slap on the wrist, right?
Like they'll suspend the sentence or something.
I think also like they give him time served, like for the time he's been at home now under house arrest. So how long has this been going on for already? Like 3 years? Two maybe? So he's probably, I would say, maybe 20. He's got 23 years left, maybe, on his sentence at this point. Maybe 22. And then he'll probably get some deal a couple years in. I can guarantee he's going to a country club prison. What was the guy? You know that 70s show guy? The fellow who he was Hyde from that 70s show. And he got busted for the rape from about a decade ago. And he was in a maximum security prison, if I recall, in California, and then they had to move him to some lower security, basically maybe a country club of sorts. And either way, I read the other day that he's a big-time star in prison, and everybody loves him. They love that he's the guy from that 70s show. He's Hyde. He probably, you know, gets all the favors. I don't know how prison works, but I imagine when you're a celebrity, you don't get messed with too much. Maybe not so much of the shivving going on or any of that jazz, but...
I think it depends on what you did.
Well, he raped. He raped like three women, allegedly.
Oh, they gotta be fucking him.
And he was a Scientologist. But Scientology has dropped him, and that's why he didn't have the protection, so he's in prison. And they moved him to a smaller... So he's someone's... He's like a Bieber to someone's Diddy.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
poor.
A creepy video, man. That's a creepy video.
Isn't it really kind of sick and twisted? I mean, he literally says, like, I own this kid for 48 hours or something like that. Hours.
We're doing every kid's dream.
Oh, it's so nasty, man.
It's weird.
And it's...
It's a little weird.
I mean, have you been going down any Diddy roads here? Have you seen anything, gotten down with any of the action? I mean, it's pretty funny. It's not funny. It's kind of gross, but... It's funny, like the Cuba Gooding Jr. There's a lot of funny people involved that I didn't expect to see involved.
In that clip where he's on SNL and Robert De Niro's like grinding on him.
Exactly.
All dressed as a woman.
Yes.
Oh, it's a little weird.
That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of funny stuff. Maybe not ha-ha funny, but like funny. All right? Like,
it's a little weird.
It's a little weird, man. Yeah, yeah, man. The Bieber video is strange, and I remember when it popped up on the scene a while back, way before any of these allegations were kind of making their way to the mainstream, but, it's like 2 or 3 minutes long, if I'm not mistaken, maybe longer, maybe there's a longer version. I've only seen the shorter one where they're like awkwardly hanging out and talking in front of the camera, and Diddy talks about how he owns this kid for like 48 hours, and they're gonna like hang with chicks, maybe, or I don't know what he alludes to. I don't know. It's a weird flick. And then, I mean, look what happened to Bieber after all that. He started putting on all the tattoos and doing the drugs and banging all the weird chicks. And, you know, now he's got the palsy.
And then he found God.
He had to find God, right. And then after he found God, they made him take the vaccine and he got the face paralysis.
the eye. Never forget the eye.
They really love destroying anyone who finds the God, man. You know, I found it interesting. Kanye released an album in 2021, and towards the end, like October, maybe December 2021, Jesus is King was the title, I believe, of the album. And then,
no way.
And then, not 2021, what was it? Maybe 2019? I think it was right before the pandemic, or either that or right before when the media destroyed him. But either way, he made an album where he's basically, in a gospel way, celebrating God and Jesus, and then they just completely destroyed this man's career. So it makes you think, you know, I mean, maybe he made the wrong album. I don't know.
I should have prayed to a different God.
He should have made the album Transgender Visibility Day.